Hello, this is Jump Person.
And I'm Kristen Auerbach.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Fairfax County Pawcast, the podcast with news, stories, and events from the Fairfax County Animal Shelter. Dr. Susie Broadhurst of Pender Veterinary Center will join us today to talk about her role caring for shelter pets. She'll talk about what happens in the shelter's first ever veterinary suite and tell us about Pender's efforts to help wildlife in Fairfax County. She'll also answer a few commonly asked questions that you'll definitely want to know if you own a cat or a dog. And finally, Kristen will tell us all about Scratchy, our featured pet of the week. And I say this almost every time. I love these names you guys come up with. So I can't wait to talk about Scratchy.
We have Bark Wahlberg at the shelter right now.
Okay. So Donnie and Mark's.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe if you adopt him, you could get some, you know, autographs and some movies.
He would definitely be willing. Yeah. He would be up for autographs.
Some pawgraphs.
Oh, I like that. Dr. Susie with a good pun there. All right. Or Dr. B. Dr. Susie Broadhurst of Pender Veterinary Center is with us and glad to have you with us on the podcast.
Glad to be here.
To talk about animals. First, I guess, tell us a little bit about your role at Pender and working with the animal shelter.
I'm an associate veterinarian at Pender Veterinary Center, so I do still see appointments, but my main position is to help take care of our shelter pets. Huh. So as a necessity, I'm a shelter medicine veterinarian. That is my passion. It has been for several years now. So the main thing that I do is I examine all of our pets that come into the shelter, give them a clean bill of health, take care of things that they may need. You know, if they have some skin infections from our fleas or anything like that, we take care of all of these, from ranging from puppies and kittens all the way on up to our senior pets. Mm-hmm. So not only do I do my exams, I go ahead and carry out our spay-neuter surgeries, so that these guys can go into forever homes.
Wow. So, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, Kristen, but, I mean, with this relationship with Pender, I mean, these animals are really, truly getting top-notch care.
They are. We talk a lot about spay and neuter surgeries because that can be really traumatic on an animal. And some of us remember, you know, we would get animals spayed and neutered. They'd have a huge incision on their stomach for a month. And it's so amazing having a Pender vet who is trained in shelter medicine, who can do a lot of spays and neuters, and you can barely tell. We have to look with a microscope to tell that the animal's even been altered. So the quality of care is exceptional, and also being able to work in our own vet suite for the first time ever has mm-hmm. been such a dream for mm-hmm. us.
Well, that first ever veterinarian suite did open in January of this year. Can you tell us? I mean, what's it being used for? I mean, just I can imagine, but
our vet suite, our main obvious, you know, function of it is to spay and neuter our pets. But we do have some miscellaneous surgeries that come through. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we had a cat that had bladder stones, so we were able to do a cystotomy to take those stones out. We do take off some of those masses that we see in the skin. So we're able to do some miscellaneous surgeries. But our main goal is to do those spay and neuters, you know, to make sure that they're sterilized before they go out. Other things that we do, so not only has Pender, you know, helped us set up that suite, we also, with the community as well, the shelter has set up so that we can do some of our TNR, which is trap, neuter, return, or trap, neuter, release to some people of our feral cat community too. So twice a month we do carry out those surgeries as well.
Oh, wow.
We can do some small lab stuff in that vet suite. We can look at, you know, parasite infection in some of the stools and small things like that, but the main function is for surgery.
Well, it's very funny because we never had a vet suite at the shelter.
Right.
And even with the reconstruction renovation project, we finished everything, and the vet suite was the last thing to show up. And it's so funny because sometimes I'll just walk through the vet suite and, you know, run into Dr. B and her staff with, you know, some animal with a gut hanging out somewhere.
It's
a little shocking. But they do a great job, and it's a really tiny little space. If you've been to the animal shelter, you know we were kind of smushed in. It's a it's a small footprint, and although it's in a great location, and so they do a lot with that little space. I think there's only 4 or 5 holding kennels for dogs and maybe 8 or 10 for cats.
Well, you've mentioned it before, is you know, the shelter is being renovated and the vet suite was, you know, being worked on and going to open, and talk about the impact that it would have. But, you know, from the vet side, I mean, is there a way to kind of quantify or talk about really how much that has meant, that vet suite?
The vet suite's incredible. You know, we talk about the stress in animals as it is. Before, what was happening is these animals were being loaded up in a van. They're being transferred to another clinic. They get their surgery. They spend the night. They come back to the shelter. So it's made a huge impact, not only on just the stress of the animals in general. So these guys literally just walk down. They right, usually it's prancing right, down right. the hallway.
Have
they
no
get
idea.
Their surgery. They recover very quickly. Yeah. Same day, they're trotting down the hallway. Most of them don't even seem like they had the surgery. Right. So at least we can remove that stressor. Mm. The shelter itself can be such a stressful environment that we can eliminate that, you know, and we treat these guys as if they're our own pets. I'm sure Kristen's walked into the shelter and we're, you know, whispering sweet nothings to all of them mm-hmm. and giving them pets as they go down and, yeah. you know, even when they wake up. So it's nice to have that there actually at the facility. Right. And especially if we get some emergency situations or anything like that, you know, they can come right there, straight right over to the vet suite. Mm.
They, one day, Dr. B started painting the dog's nails and putting little hearts on them. It was around Valentine's Day. And so it's so cute because the vets, Dr. B and the techs, they really love the animals. And that was the one thing that we really wanted to see happen is we wanted our vet to treat our shelter animals, homeless animals, just like they would treat an own pet with an owner that loves it. And mm-hmm. that's something that is really rare to find, and it's something I think that the Pender staff has accomplished beautifully.
Yeah. Come in for a surgery, get a free pedicure.
Right.
Pender recently, kind of changing gears a little bit, became the shelter's contract veterinarian and kind of related to helping wildlife, I guess. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Pender Veterinary Center does have an exotics department that will take in a limited amount of injured wildlife. Obviously, we can't take in, you know, foxes, rabbits, raccoons that have that potential to carry rabies. Those are the type of wildlife that we actually have to kind of redirect over to our animal control division at the shelter. But we do take in obvious injured animals, you know, and we're coming into that spring season. There's mm-hmm. a lot of babies around, so we got to be careful not to, you know, go ahead and jump the gun and pick those babies right up, because the odds are the mother is around. Now, if there's an obvious threat or danger somewhere around, a predator to those babies, that's a different ballgame. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's obvious trauma to these babies, then that's when, you know, we can contact Pender, give them a call, you know, or even speak to our local wildlife rehabilitators. Mm-hmm. Pender Exotic Department works very closely with our wildlife rehabilitators. So as soon as those injured, you know, animals come mm-hmm. into our department, you know, they're able to get them well and then kind of let them go out to those organizations.
Hearing something in the news, there's an outbreak of something they call CIV, if I think I've got that right, in Chicago, I believe. Is that something that we need to be concerned about here in Fairfax County?
Yeah, absolutely. CIV is canine influenza virus. Mm. It's a more common name is dog flu. So just like people get the flu, right. It also travels around our four-legged friends as well. So the interesting news is we just had a news release from Cornell, Wisconsin, and as well as the National Veterinary Service Lab, that this is a completely different strain. We can vaccinate for dog flu, but it's the H3N8 strain. This is currently what they just discovered, an H3N2 strain, which is commonly circulating around China and South Korea. Mm. So it's not something that we have a vaccine for necessarily, but we got to think of it almost like human flu. So we get vaccinated, even though it may be a new strain, there might be that cross-reactivity. We might still get a little bit of immune, you know, boost, you know, from that and not let this flu be as severe. So it's interesting to know about that CIV and what signs to look for. You know, do we have a dog that's just a little bit off, you know, to the person? We're starting to get a lot of excessive sneezing and, you know, really not eating. We need to look at those and get them to the veterinarian if there's any questions. Obviously, we recommend to vaccinate no matter what, just to make sure that we can get that immune boost as well.
Yeah. Interesting. Kind of stay on the disease topic, if you will. I know Lyme disease, springtime, it kind of comes up. A lot of folks talking about it. Of course, it can be really, you know, life-threatening to people, but is Lyme disease a problem for cats and dogs as well?
Absolutely. Lyme disease is spread by a tick. So if we have our cats and dogs running around outside, they happen to get those ticks embedded into the skin from a tick bite. Mm-hmm. Those ticks can transfer that Lyme disease. So we do need to keep an eye out for that and, you know, constantly go over your pet when they come in from indoors. But obviously, as a veterinarian, I'm going to highly recommend some flea and tick prevention to eliminate that risk.
Wait, can cats get Lyme disease? I don't know. I heard that dogs can get Lyme disease, but it manifests a little bit differently. And I've also heard that similarly, that it's not the same for cats, that they actually don't get Lyme disease the way that dogs do.
Cats actually can't get Lyme disease. Dogs present similar to humans. They can get kind of achy joints. There's an acute phase where they go through fevers, but they can have kind of chronic lifelong, you know, risk in regards to the Lyme disease, but cats cannot get it.
Interesting, but we still don't want them covered in ticks because it's disgusting.
Right.
And they can jump on us, and we can get Lyme disease, and other horrible things happen.
Oh, my God. Okay. So main thing is to check your cats and your dogs when they come indoors from outdoors, check on the ticks, but also regular treatment at your vet. I mean, is there a, you know, I'm carry them in once a year and I can get everything done and I'm good to go?
That's probably great in a young pet.
Okay.
You know, just like kids, you know, we tend to not get as sick going forward. So if we're a younger pet, absolutely. Annually, unless something pops up, we, you know, happen to get into some trash and had an upset tummy and, you know, miscellaneous things like that that they can come into the vet for. Once they get older, I like to kind of look at, you know, 5 or 6 years of age. I start going, you know, I would start recommending every 6 months get an exam. We never know what can pop up in our senior pets. And it's nice to get a general health checkup.
Right. Okay.
So you think older pets twice a year is sufficient?
I think it's a fantastic
idea.
Is there
like a subscription plan? Like I can just pay a certain amount every year and come for my twice a year exams? Because I think that maybe, like I have that on my car. Maybe that makes sense for animals.
That would be a great idea, and I would love it.
I'll call Pender when we leave.
We might have a business idea here. We can retire.
One of the greatest things about Pender is, you know, we just have that genuine love for animals. So it's nice to know I get reminders, and for my own pets, who I, you know, I work full time. I have young children. Mm. I have pets, and so sometimes I even get my own reminders from Pender about my pets, which I think is a fantastic idea. And I'll get that twice a year reminder.
Right.
Hey, you're due for your preventative exam, and so it's nice to have that, and Pender can offer that.
Yeah.
They have I know that we had a lot of, you know, vaccines, and when I go to the vet I'm always so confused because I know they're like, you could do this and maybe you should do this. How do I know which ones? I mean, my animals come to the animal shelter every day, so I need to have maximum protection. But how do, just as a general person, how do you know what your animal really needs in terms of vaccines and sort of preventative treatment?
You know, that's something that definitely vaccines can cater to that particular lifestyle. Your dogs and your lifestyle is a little bit different. Like you said, you kind of get maxed out on your vaccines because they can be exposed to so much. We always have, you know, core vaccines that we recommend. We have our rabies vaccine. We have our canine distemper for our dogs with our Bordetella kennel cough vaccine. Those are our core ones for our dogs. We do have a Lyme vaccine as well. You know, we were just recently talking about ticks. So that's something, if we do have an outdoor dog, especially a hunting dog, we want them to go out there and make sure we get that Lyme vaccine. We have lepto vaccine. So there's several different vaccines for dogs. You know, we also have them for cats. We have our core vaccines for our indoor cats, rabies, again, feline distemper. If they're going outside, we recommend a feline leukemia vaccine. But again, I mean, we're going back to what is your lifestyle, is your pet inside, outside, and we want to look at that. So the best thing, come in, see us. Go to your other veterinarian, but obviously I'd like to see you at Pender because
right.
I love seeing my pets too.
Vet, yeah.
Go to a vet and, you know, cater to your lifestyle, and we can talk about the different preventions that these guys need to be in,
right,
as well as
our
vaccines.
One of the nice things is, like, Dr. B sees my dogs and I trust her, right? So I know she tells me I need something, I need that. And that's I think, an important relationship to have with your vet, is that you trust if they're telling you you need something, you need to have it. I guess I have one other question about vaccines that's always confused me. When you have kids, like, they get a certain number of vaccines and they get their measles and whatever else, but then at a certain point you stop, like, you don't give them anymore. Is that true for animals too? Like, at a certain point, do you stop vaccinating them?
Not necessarily. If these guys get to a really, really senior age and there's other medical conditions that could hinder their immune system, then that's one of those things. And that's a question for the vet too. It's a case-to-case basis of whether or not we vaccinate them for a particular for a particular condition. So that's definitely something that again is catered
to
the animal.
Are the vaccines kind of just boosting them when they get them every couple of years? Is it just boosting the protection?
Absolutely. And you might remember when your guys were puppies and they had those series, just
I mean, it was like every couple of weeks I was at the vet.
Yep, and then it goes yearly, and it's just based on our pet's immune system.
Right. I love seeing her, but not that much.
Right. We're talking with Dr. Susie Broadhurst of the Pender Veterinary Center with us on the podcast, and almost out of time, but before we run out, I just want to ask, is there any final guidance or advice you could give our listeners when talking about veterinary care for their pets?
I think it's most important to be in tune with your pet. You know what signs to look for, what's abnormal in your pet. If there's any doubt or question, you can go ahead and see your veterinarian. Most importantly, coming from a shelter medicine aspect, please go out and adopt from your local shelter. These animals are looking for forever homes, you know, and they're a fantastic addition to the family.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Couldn't set it to be any
better.
Hey,
thanks. Yes. Coming up.
Speaking of somebody that needs a home, Scratchy. I gotta
hear. Do you know Scratchy, Dr. V?
I absolutely adore Scratchy.
Why don't you talk about Scratchy then?
Scratchy's an older male cat. He's an orange tabby. He absolutely loves to give hugs. So if you come to the shelter and you are looking for a cat, he is the one for you to get those hugs. He is a staff favorite. Mm-hmm. I walk through the kennels. It's nice when I do my rounds, and I see everyone loving on this cat. So if you're looking for a loving cat.
It's true. There's just picture after picture of him, like cuddling with staff members and volunteers. He's so affectionate.
Wow. We wish we could actually call him Olaf from Frozen. I like to give warm hugs. So that's Scratchy.
Awesome. Got some competition for your pet descriptors here.
Right.
Good job, Dr. B. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of the Animal Shelter Podcast. Thanks again to Dr. Susie Broadhurst for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. B. Love being here.
And, you know, if you're looking for Scratchy or maybe a dog or a rabbit or another kind of pet, please do consider the Fairfax County Animal Shelter, because truly your new best friend is waiting for you right there. Shelter located at 4500 West Ox Road, Fairfax. The hours of operation Tuesdays through Fridays from noon to 7. Also open on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
For more Fairfax County Animal Shelter news and events, visit us online at fairfaxcounty.gov/animalshelter and be sure to check out the calendar of events located on the site. You can also call 703-830-1100 extension 2 or email animalshelter@fairfaxcounty.gov to have all of your questions answered. To see the latest shelter news and events, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And see more of the Animal Shelter on Tips and Tales. That's the shelter television show produced and aired on Channel 16. And the Animal Shelter Pawcast is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government, and we appreciate you listening.